Now, on to Massachusetts politics. Former U.S. House Speaker and Cambridge native Tip O'Neill famously coined the phrase, "All politics is local." But there are times when hyperlocal politics are a powerful barometer that indicate just how much an entire city or region is changing.
Take, for example, the Massachusetts State Senate seat for the 1st Suffolk District, which includes South Boston, Dorchester, Mattapan, and parts of Hyde Park. It's long been thought of as the Southie seat, because for more than 40 years, it's been held by a white, Irish-American South Boston man.
On May 28th, that may change. Residents in the 1st Suffolk could elect the first Haitian-American woman ever to represent their district. Linda Dorsina-Forey is currently a state representative. She secured the Democratic nomination for the state Senate seat in last week's primary, and she joins us now in the studio. Representative Forey, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So listeners, if you live in South Boston or Dorchester or Mattapan or Hyde Park, what's your question for Linda Dorsina-Forey? And listeners everywhere, what is the political shift that seems to be underway in that district telling us about Boston, race, and politics as a whole? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Now, Representative Forey, let's start by, I'd love to sort of talk with you a little more about your background and your deep background in Boston, beyond politics, actually, because you're a first-generation Haitian American.
I am.
Native Bostonian. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what it was like? You were born in, if I get this date right, 1973?
You got it.
Okay, so tell us what the district was like in your younger years when you were a kid growing up there.
Well, I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm born and raised in Dorchester. My parents, Annie and Andre Dorsina, they immigrated from Haiti, and they came to this incredible country, and in the process, they had us, their children. But growing up, you know, it was wonderful growing up in Upamsquana. You know, I went to St. Kevin's School, which is a Catholic school. I went to Monsignor Ryan Memorial High School, an all-girl high school. And then I went to Boston College Carroll School of Management. But growing up, I was involved with the DSNI, the Dudley Square, you know, neighborhood initiative, where it was a triangle where there was a group of us, actually, they came out of the DSNI neighborhood. I would say John Barros is one of them. He's now the executive director over there. Tiffany Warren, one of my good friends, who's a senior vice president at a company. So everyone in this pocket, you know, in terms of community folks and young folks growing up, we did a lot of things growing up together, but also now I think we're pretty much, I would say, quite successful. And I say that, you know, it was DSNI, it was the Daniel Maher Boys and Girls Club, it was my Catholic youth group. I had a youth group at my church, and so was very involved about giving back, working, helping to feed the poor. I mean, that was just part of my life growing up.
So, I mean, it's clear that you've been very community focused and oriented for a long, long time, but I wonder, I mean, the 1970s and early 80s in Boston were a tumultuous time. I mean, we're talking busing here, for example. I mean, how much did race and different ethnicities and that awareness play into your day-to-day life as a young woman there?
Very good. Okay, so I would say, you know, again, I was born in 1973. And so, you know, the busing, all of that started about 1970 and so forth. Right. And so I was still pretty young when the busing issue was taking place. But my parents experienced it, right? You know, but we were pretty, I would say, really Catholic in terms of being Catholic, going to Catholic schools. We were somewhat sheltered in terms of the issues that happen in the public school system. But for me, in our household, we always had a diverse group of folks come through. In terms of the Haitian culture, you know, our hue is quite different, right? We have a whole range. We have from extremely fair skin, like my mom, right, who looks white, to my father, who's extremely dark. So for us in my household, it was never about a skin complexion issue. We never really looked at that as something that was different. I am now married. My husband is Irish American.
We'll talk about him.
Yeah, we'll talk
about
that in a moment. Okay. But, you know, for me, I mean, growing up again, it was really about, you know, helping people. Yeah. And that's what I've always been about. It's really being there to give support when folks had an issue, whether it was my work as a peer leader, alcoholic drug counselor in high school, from being a peer leader to my colleagues and my classmates, and to being a peer leader in the youth group, you know, in terms of the Boys and Girls Club, the Daniel Maher. It was just a wonderful experience. Again, being able to connect with other young people that have different issues, that come from different backgrounds, it was never really an issue. I mean, our good friends at the Maher Club, you know, we were hanging out, Mike Baker, who's an Irish American. He's a Boston police officer now. So there was so many different folks, and we all just got along. I mean, we were Dorchester, and so that's what was important.
So the community identity.
That's
right,
there. Community.
Well, let me, one more question about your Haitian American upbringing.
Yes.
What languages did you speak at home?
Okay, so I speak Creole. So I'm parle Creole, right? I speak Creole because my parents taught it to us, which is fantastic. So I do. I speak Creole fluently. My French is, you know, I understand. I'm doing okay. But Creole, definitely fluent. So we spoke Creole at home.
Okay.
But obviously, we spoke English as well. So, but at home, we started off with Creole. Then we went into daycare. Rama Daycare, we'll never forget it. It was on Dudley Street. It was an amazing place. We had like a chef, literally. It was a chef cooking for us every day. It was quite fantastic. Yeah. But my parents did a lot. You know, they worked hard. They worked hard. And the segment you had before about education, higher education, I can tell you, we didn't have $1 million in the bank, okay? But my parents stressed it. They said, listen, you have to do well in school. This is the only way you're going to get to college. And that's what I did. And that's what my siblings did. Studied hard, got a scholarship to Boston College, Carroll School of Management. And that's what it was. Yeah. It was, you know, doing work, working hard to get the need-based financial aid and also merit-based as well. But, you know, it was very important.
So the reason why I'm asking you all these questions about your background, because as you well know, whether you like it or not, the story of your life is very emblematic of the story of Boston, in a sense, you know, in the past 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You come from one of the city's largest communities, and you come from a very important, like, physical neighborhood in the city as well. And now you are on your way to perhaps being, you know, a state senator representing that community. So it's very interesting to understand that path that you came from. And one more step along that path before we sort of get to the race now is the fact that you married Bill Forey of the Forey family, a very prominent Irish-American family from that part of the city. Now, how was that connection made? And also tell me, how has it helped you sort of connect, you know, broadly across, you know, what in the past were pretty, you know, stringent lines?
That's right. I mean, yeah, they were pretty stringent lines, right? I mean, for me, you know, I met my husband. So I met my husband. He went to BC High, and he went to Boston College as well. But when I went to MRM, I would go to the BC High dances, but we never met. We did not meet until Boston College. But my brother went to BC High. My cousins went to BC High. And then he went to Boston College. I was a year after a BC, and that's how I met him. We actually went to an Ahana dance, you know, the African-American, Hispanic, Asian, Native American dance. But we weren't dating. We were just friends, and we just went together. But it was when he was running the campaign for my brother, Will Dorsino, who was president of BC undergrad. Bill Forey was the campaign manager, and that's how we got to know each other. But the way, which is really interesting because everything is connected, right? Mm-hmm. So you know they run the community newspaper, the Dorchester Reporter.
Right.
So when he graduated BC, he went to work for the family business. And I was at that point at Boston College, and when I was leaving, I was about to graduate, he said, you know what, you should interview for a legislative aide position. And that was for former state rep Charlotte Golar-Ritchie. So he did an interview on her, and he's like, you know what, this is an amazing woman. I think you would be a great, you know, legislative aide. You should apply. But my husband and I, we totally connected. I mean, he grew up in Dorchester. Again, the Dorchester connection, right? Can't get away from that. He grew up in Dorchester, but a lot of his friends were Haitian, so he got the Creole thing. You know, he speaks a little bit of Creole. And, you know, and we just totally clicked, and we fell in love, and we got married in 2000. So this year we'll be married 13 years, which is unbelievable. It went by so fast.
I want to congratulate you, but I won't, because that's just great regardless. You're a good example. People shouldn't be getting congratulated for sticking with their marriages. Let me ask you this. I mean, it's a really great story, and we got some callers who want to talk to you, and I will in a moment. But you said everything's connected, and you mentioned Charlotte Golar-Ritchie, who's now running for the mayor of Boston.
I know, as well.
But what this comes down to is right now you're the Democratic nominee for the state Senate seat.
Yes,
in the first Suffolk district, and this is a seat that for more than 40 years has been held by three South Boston Irish American white men. I mean, they represented the seat very well, but I mean, that's why people are. I mean, the Democratic race in and of itself was a very close one. Lots of three really great candidates. You came out victorious there, and that's why everyone's paying attention to you. So, well, one of the reasons. So, what do you make of the fact that you could be the first Haitian American woman in this seat that's been held by a white man since before you were born.
Yeah, since before I was born. And I have to tell you, folks who held this seat before me did a great job. I have good relationships with all of them. Senator Jack Hart and I worked well because he was my state senator as a state rep, you know, representing the 12th Suffolk District. And I would say that a good chunk of my district now is in this seat, right? So I have parts of Dorchester, Mattapan, Hyde Park, and Milton. And so a good chunk of it is already in the first Suffolk Senate seat. So when this opportunity presented itself, you know, I thought about it, obviously, for a little bit. You know, my husband is just fantastic. Bill has been an amazing partner and amazing support. We have four children now, right? So this is a step, you know, to jump forward. But that was not a barrier. You know, my husband was with me, my parents, my in-laws, they said, you know what, you do it, we're going to get behind you. And I think for me, I bought my experience, right? Because I've been a state rep for 8 years. I mean, I didn't just come on the scene. I am the most qualified, I believe, and the other two candidates are fantastic in terms of the group that came out. But I was someone and is someone who really builds coalitions and partnerships and really bring direct resources into the district. And so when we ran, you know, this was a tough race, like any race, right? We have to work hard. And I take nothing for granted, even though I've been a rep for 8 years. I was out there knocking on doors, calling people on the phone, and really reaching out to everybody. Yeah. And so I'm quite grateful, you know, to everyone that came out on April 30th to vote and to make sure that we were successful.
So I should say that the general election is on May 28th.
That's right.
And you do have a Republican challenger, mm-hmm. Joseph Anthony Urenick, who ran unopposed on the Republican side. But the last time, I believe, that a Republican gained, you know, any sort of sizable percentage of the vote in this district was, what, like more than 20 years ago. So that just gives a sense as to the political makeup of the district thus far. But what do you, just to drive at this a little further, I mean, what do you make of the notion that people out there are saying that your winning of the Democratic nomination does signal maybe a shift in the political center of gravity in the district towards more of the residents who represent the greater diversity?
Mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, this seat, although it was held definitely by, you know, all South Boston residents, because 10, 11 years ago, it was predominantly a South Boston seat. You know, that was the majority of it. But now it's South Boston. It's all of Dorchester. It's Mattapan, and it's a part of Hyde Park. So out of 160,000 people that make up this seat, 30,000 of them live in South Boston, and the rest is Dorchester. Just a Mattapan in Hyde Park. But I want folks in Southie to know that I'm no stranger to South Boston. You know, my husband's grandparents, you know, came to Southie. They got married at the Gate of Heaven in South Boston. We baptized our children at the St. Augustine's Chapel with Father Tom McDonald. So we have relationships there. There's still Fouries that live in South Boston. I think they were one of the ones that had my only sign and the parade, right? Right in front of their house. But no, so I've been working hard, and I look forward to going back and building bridges. I understand people had relationships and they had other candidates for the primary. And so my goal now is really to bring people into the fold, is really to let folks know that I am going to be your state senator, that although we have a race in 20 days, we are hopeful that we will be successful. We are still campaigning. Full-blown campaign is going on. You know, we have our campaign office, campaign staff, everything. We are going, you know, we're campaigning like it's April 30th. And so I want folks to know that I'm going to be there, you know, and I'm going to be present, and I'm going to be their voice in the state Senate. But I need everyone at the table.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot read minds, you know, so if you don't call my office and tell me what's happening, then we won't know. But I want folks to know that.
Well, let me take a couple calls
okay.
from people who may be your constituents.
Okay, thank you.
Listeners, I'm speaking with Linda Dorsina-Fori. She's currently a state representative and also now the Democratic nominee for the state Senate seat that represents the first Suffolk district. James is calling from Dorchester. You're on the air, James.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Linda, congratulations. 100% support. I'm a native Dorchesterite and live in the Codman Square area. And I have to mention Charlotte Gola Ritchie only because she helped save the Strand and the Fund for Boston Neighborhoods. And as artistic director of the Boston Dance Company, we're the longest running tenant in the Strand doing all of our community outreach there. So what I want to, my question for you is, with all of the banks and the mandate from the president that banks have got to negotiate these people up for foreclosures and loan modifications and, you know, reappraisals of the houses for what they're really worth as opposed to what they were, you know, 20 years ago. What do you think that you might be able to do to help us in that arena?
James, thank you so much for your call.
Very good, James. Great question. First, thank you for your support and the Strand. The work you're doing there is fantastic. It's a great place. But okay, that is a big issue in terms of stabilizing our communities and our neighborhoods with the foreclosure issue. That's something I've been working on for a long time. As being Charlotte's aide when she was a state rep, when she became chief of housing for the city of Boston, I went to work for the Department of Neighborhood Development with her and under Mayor Menino. So we worked on housing issues, foreclosure issues a long time. And that's something I still support and I'm still, you know, encouraging in terms of getting people to be able to refinance and stay in their homes. And I've worked with Sun. This is Stabilizing Urban Neighborhoods, which is the Boston Community Capital, really getting them out to our neighborhoods to have conversations and really work with homeowners who are losing their homes now. Okay, so they have this program where they're able to help homeowners stay in their home by buying the mortgages and negotiating with the banks directly and selling it back to that homeowner at a lower cost. But that's a big deal because we know boarded up homes on our streets cause, you know, it's a ripple effect, right? If there's boarded up properties, then it could lead to crime and violence. And so it's important that we keep people in their homes. And that's something I've supported a long time. Happy that the Attorney General, you know, took a leadership role in that on the national stage in getting resources and money here to Massachusetts so we could really try to handle this issue.
Linda Dorsinafori, we've only got about a minute or so to go. It flies by.
It goes by so fast.
You're giving me that look. Like, how dare you say that? But it's true. We only got about a minute or so to go. And I just ate up 15 seconds of it. But I'm wondering, if you do get elected to the state Senate seat, you would be the only currently serving Black female state
yes.
senator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a continuing question in terms of political representation
yeah.
in Massachusetts. And I just wonder what you make of that, you know, we don't yet have more than just potentially one
I know.
At the state senate.
So this will be the second time because the last, you know, this will be, we have Senator Sonia Chang Diaz,
right.
Who's there now. So there's 40 senators. So I look forward to joining, you know, the state senate to work with Senator Chang Diaz, but to work with everyone. I think it's important. Diversity is something that we should cherish and really hold up, right? We have an amazing state. The community I represent is quite diverse, ethnically, culturally, economically. And so I look forward really to being that voice, knowing that as a Black woman, as a Haitian woman, you know, being in that position, I'm there to represent my community. Now, it's not just the Black community and the Haitian community. It's all the folks in the first Suffolk Senate seat. But I think it's important. I think it's important that our elected officials reflect the diversity of this amazing state. I was happy to serve on the redistricting committee where we were able to double the amount of representative seats, House representative seats from 10 to 20 in terms of majority people of color. But there's a lot of work that's left to be done. I was happy to lead the effort on small business front in job creation,
mm-hmm.
Really creating opportunities for people in our communities and small businesses to thrive in Massachusetts, and also focusing on education and building the quality yeah. of our schools for our children, for the next generation, because that's what's going to get us through.
Well, a lot of work yet to be done on all of those issues. Linda Dorsinafori is currently a state representative and now also the Democratic nominee for the first Suffolk District State Senate seat. That election happens on May 28th. Linda Dorsinafori, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And stay with us. Still to come, we'll talk sports with Only a Game's Bill Littlefield, and hardcore folk troubadour Steve Earle brings songs from the Low Highway to Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.